Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. Before we go into it, I just want to ask your forgiveness. I've been trying really hard the last two sermons. Last Sunday at CMC, this morning at MMC, I still feel that I have failed to express this message a little bit easier, clearly, so that you can understand. It's very hard for me to take out so much stuff when I prepare this message, and it's just a wonderful passage here in Romans chapter 10, and I would love to share with you. So I'm asking you to get a lot of brain energy for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can walk with me as I try to explain or draw some attention from you regarding this passage. Let's read it together. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But that still is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses wrote this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Let's start with verse 1. If you look at verse 1, you will see that Paul continued to talk about his desire. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the people, his people, is that they may be saved. Remember last month I was talking to you about Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. In that passage, Paul has a huge honesty issues. He said that I'm telling the truth, that I have very much want to see my people to be saved. He went to really into a very unlogical situation. He said that let's trade my salvation with my people. If they can be saved, God, take my salvation. All these things sounds like, you know, it's very not logical, but this is the expression of his desire. And chapter 10, he started with this desire again. So we know that he's going to talk about something that is also important. So verse 1, brothers, my heart's desire. Last month, I was asking you, you know, deep down in our hearts, do we really want to see non-believers to be saved? Because if this is really a huge matter in your hearts, I'm sure you will do something to you. You will be more intentionally share the gospel in any ways you can, in different situations, with different people. So that was the questions that Paul was asking himself in chapter 9, and he was honest and say that, I do, I care for my people. So chapter 10, he started with this verse 1 again, saying that he has a big heart for his people. He echoed back to Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. So that we know that he's going to start a new subject, something that is also important. So let's look at it, verse 2. And he said that he described the people, his own people, saying, therefore, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. You see, this is a very much interesting, because to us, we do the same thing. We ask you to be passionate. Just like a minute ago, I said that, you know, we would love to see more people to have a heart for unsaved people. You see, at the same time, Paul said that, but they are not doing this with the truth. You see, a lot of religious people, when they have this passion and this zeal, but they don't have a true knowledge, what do they get? They become fanatic. And we have so many wars around the world in the centuries, people fighting because of their so-called religions. And they became so fanatic because they took on some really passionate about something which was not the truth. And they turned it around and become issues. So Paul was talking about, you know, his own people. The Jewish people has a big heart, passion. for God, but they did not do it with the truth. And I'm going to show it to you. Actually, Paul was going to show it to you, because in chapter 9, in chapter 10, he's going to show us that this is the statement that he makes with something that he already mentioned in chapter 9, which we did not study. But we're going to bring up this passage later, and you will see that this is his description of his people. They have a heart, but they do not know the truth. And a lot of time, we run into the same problems. Brothers and sisters, we're eager to see you, and some of you are very eager for years to serve God. But at the same time, I think we do not take the Word of God very much seriously. At the same time, we run into a lot of problems with other people, with all the directions of the church, or all the ministries, all these things. Sometimes I think we are just like the Jewish people. We have a heart to serve God, but we are not following the Word of God. Do you know why? Because Paul was going to describe this group of his people, this group of people that is zealous for God, but at the same time, they are not following the truth. So in verse 3, let's go to verse 3. It's a very important verse that he's going to get into, because he's going to say it to us, telling us why they are not following the truth, what is wrong with them. And so verse 3, he's going to tell us more what is going on with his own people. So if you look at verse 3, if I can find it, well, it's very hard to see so small print as you get older. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. You see, Paul is making a statement like that. But of course, you will see in the chapter 9, he actually already told us what went wrong. And then in chapter 10, he kind of summarized the situation with his own people, the Jewish people. So if you look at verse 3, you will see that he is talking about this situation. They do not follow the law of God, but they create their own. If you look at this, let's go back to chapter 9, because I think it's very important to go back to chapter 9. Let's turn to the PowerPoint. Can we? Oh, it's right there. So just give you a very quick summary what happened to all these three chapters. I mentioned it last time, the conflict between the righteousness of God and the promise of God. Is that a problem within these chapters when God casts out his own people, the Jewish people? So the Jewish people automatically would, you know, come up with questions like that. Are we cast out because of, you know, what went wrong, that we are, the promises of God are no longer with us? What is the problem? So they were asking all these questions. And Israelites, the Jewish people, were cast out because God has taken back his promise to them. He said a situation. And Paul is trying to tell us that in chapter 9, if you read chapter 9, you will see that the arguments of Paul in chapter 9, verses 6 to 29, you don't have to read the whole thing. The basic idea is that God is sovereign. He decides. You see, it's very difficult for us as human to use our human logic, try to judge God. I think this is our problem. One of our problems is we use our human judgment or logic to judge who God really is. And Paul was trying to tell us that God doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. He did not even say, sorry, God is sovereign. He just said that God is sovereign. He picked the way he did. And that is the way he accepts people, is by faith, not by works. That is the argument in chapter 9. And you will see that God does not accept special privilege. That was the Jewish people always ask for it, because they feel that they have a covenant relationship with God. So they should have a special privilege before God. And God said that no, it is not true. And he cannot take that, because as a sovereign God, he could not accept that. And we just have to believe it, whether you like it or not. So this is the argument in chapter 9. And at the end, verses 30, and I want you to go into this later on, but in this passage, chapter 9, verses 30 to chapter 10, verse 21, since God's righteousness was for those who believe, the Jewish people could not be part of it because they find their own way, try to reach God. How do we get that Let's look at verse 31. Please turn your Bible to verse 31, chapter 9. Very important verse, but a lot of people just read through it and did not get the meaning, because this is the meaning when Paul talks about in chapter 10. They find their own way. In verse 31, in chapter 9, but Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness. You see, Paul says that in Greek, he took out that definite article before the law. He said a law. Actually, there's no article at all at the front in Greek. Law of righteousness. Paul actually tells us that the Israelites in his time already took on something entirely different. In the Old Testament, it was to fulfill the law, work on the law, and then you will be saved. You will be called righteous, and then you will be saved. And then we will see that in verse 5 in chapter 10 later. But at this point, the people, the Jewish people, pick on a new way to reach God. Paul is telling us the Jewish people in his time already changed the way they do business with God. They find a new definition of what is called righteousness. And that is scary, because we do this, I think, at the same time. After we became a Christians, we find our own way to please God. We find our own way to so-called connect with God. We look at the scripture and say, wow, the scripture is unreasonable. Sometimes we say, it's so hard to follow. Maybe, you know, I can just pick this and pick that. We come up with a package and say, this is my Christian faith, which is, God, you know, don't take away my job, you know, don't take my kids, and as long as I'm happy, as long as I'm fine, as long as there's no difficulties in my life, I will follow you as long as I live. Sometimes this is our Christian faith. We water down what God is asking us. And then we pick up our own way, just like the Jewish people. Paul is telling us in this verse, they pick their own righteousness, a way. He used the word law too, you know, it's a playing words, playing with words. So he's talking about, you know, you have your own way to define what righteousness is. That's why you forsake. That's why you don't want to submit yourself to God's righteousness in verse 4 in chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, that is a very dangerous thing to do. This is my first point. Our way. Our way is to redefine what is acceptable to God. You might not even know this. Seriously, as you live your life as a Christian, you might not even notice that. You have your own system how to relay yourself to God. I just use some extreme examples. God, don't take my kids, you know, don't call them to be missionaries. As long as you don't do that, I'm fine with you. God, give me a job, you know, as long as I'm making huge money, no problem, I will follow you. God, you know, as long as I have a wonderful relationship with my people in the church, I'm happy. So don't worry, I will serve you. You see, we define. Okay, if I lose my job, okay, give me my job back within a year, then I will be okay with you. This is our Christianity. We set the boundary for God and say, don't cross that. As long as you don't cross that, I'm fine. I'm fine with you. And I want to relate it to you. No problem. And this is what the problem the Jewish people had. They find their own way. They already forsaken the law of Moses in the Old Testament. In Jesus' time, in Paul's time, they already have their own system. And Paul is telling them, no way. This is not the way. And we need to find out, and we need to examine ourselves. We need to reflect on this, brothers and sisters. I'm asking you, as you listen to this sermon, how do you relate to God? To what extent you will be able to say, I'm okay with you, God, you know, as long as you do this. Or don't ask me that or this. I'm okay with you. Where did you get that from the scriptures? This is how they forsake the law in the Old Testament. They come up with their own. We do the same thing. We look at the scriptures, New Testament, Old Testament. We just come up with our own way. We think God will be pleased. And I think we have a same problem. As we see that, actually, the point two is verse 4. Okay, let's go back to chapter 10, verse 4. And I think this is a very important and very interesting because this is God's way. We have our ways, but God said, I have my way too. Verse 4. If this thing works, it's not working. Oh, yeah, thank you. You see, this is a description. Paul was trying to let us know the Jewish people, they pursue law of righteousness, their own way. Not even the Old Testament, the laws, but their own way. And they were zealous, and yet without power. They could not do it. Romans chapter 1 to 8, we know that no one can fulfill the law. No one. Because we have no power to do that, so could not get to the new life. And then they pursued it by works. You see, it's not even talking about following the law. They talk about the works. Paul used those words to describe they are trying really hard on their own to reach God. But at the end, they have to face this circle. If you look at chapter 10, verse 4, God's way. Let's read it together. How's that? Before you fall asleep. Verse 4. Let's read it together. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Wow, man, you guys really, really pick up the pace, please. Let's try again. Verse 4. I find it very amazing when I prepare this message because I thought, you know, I study Old Testament quite a bit. I love Old Testament. So I thought, you know, Paul was talking about at the end of the law will be a blessing. At the end of the law will be new life. At the end of the law will be God's, you know, humongous blessings that we anticipate. All these things. At the end. Of course, at the end, we should have receiving something. But at the end, I find it very interesting because Paul says that at the end of all what you are trying to do is what? A person. Not blessings. Not yourself. But a person. And his name is what? You see, Paul picked the word Christ instead of Jesus, because that is what? Talking about his work, a Messiah. I find it amazing when I see this, you know, because at the end, no matter what you do, brothers and sisters, whether you follow the Old Testament law, you know, the Jewish people, Paul is talking to them, you know, regardless whether you follow the Jewish law in the Old Testament or find your own new way to reach God, at the end, you crash into the Messiah. You have no way out. Now, if you go back to chapter 9, you will see that. Paul was quoting Isaiah chapter 8 and chapter 24. He was talking about that stone. Same stone, but have two different meaning or functions. For those who try our best, working really hard, at the end, you still have to face the Messiah, Savior, Christ. No matter what you do, you still have to answer these questions. You still have to come down to this. And this is what Paul said. The end of all you are doing, no matter how good it is not enough. That's what he meant. Because you still crash into the Messiah, the Christ. And you still need him. For those who are stuck spiritually, maybe you're asking yourself for many years or many months, I don't know how long, you are not satisfied with your spiritual growth, you are not satisfied with your own spiritual life, maybe you should ask these questions. Is Christ our stumbling block? Because this is what the scripture said in chapter 9. If you trust yourself rather than trust God, that is the end. That is the answer. Christ is a stumbling block. And you cannot continue to go forward. And you are stuck, so-called spiritually. But if you go another way, you know the end of the law. Isaiah chapter 24, chapter 28, chapter 8. Isaiah described this rock or this stone, not just a stumbling block. It is a cornerstone that the builder can build upon. You see, same person, same Savior, same Christ, but have two different endings. One is a stumbling block to you. The other one is your foundation that you can grow. Brothers and sisters, what will you choose? What will you choose? Paul continued to discuss this issue. You see, this is next. Okay, so if you look at it, if you're trying with works, Christ is the stumbling stone. And you cannot move forward. Maybe that will explain to you why you're spiritually stuck in a sphere. I don't know what that is, how big. You're gonna run into him. My point is you're gonna run into him and you have to make a decision. Are you gonna continue to trust yourself, how you relate to God, the values, the system that you have been using, or you try to choose to continue to pursue by faith? And I think we need to come down to this. Eventually, for those who are not satisfied with your own life, maybe you need to ask yourself, am I putting God in a box and say, don't come out, don't hurt me, don't ask me to do something that, you know, will cause me? As long as I'm comfortable, as long as I'm okay, trust me, God, I will follow you for the rest of my life. This is not God's way. I'm sorry. God's way is the Savior. Let's continue. I'm almost done. Wow. You know, I prayed to God before I came up. I said, God, I need to simplify this message so that people can understand. Now I'm so short now, the message. Number three, if you continue to read chapter 10, I think this is another way Paul's trying to describe this Savior and how he relates to us. Let's look at chapter 10, continues. And then he moves on to say Moses described in a way the righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. You see, this is the way that the Old Testament was designed. You know, if you follow the law perfectly, and you will be called righteous, and the result, you will have a new life in Christ, a new life in God. And that is the Old Testament concept. And Paul was using what Moses was talking about. So this is the layout in the Old Testament. This is the concept, so-called. This is the teaching. And he's telling us that, well, this is the way in the Old Testament, not your own way. You should go back to at least the law. The law, if you fulfill it, you will be able to have a new life. But at the end, he will say in verses 6 to 8, there's a better way. Because this way Moses said, doesn't work. And then he quoted another passage from Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. If you have a time, you can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 30. I'm sorry, chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. Moses was coming to the end of his teaching, and then he said to the people and say, okay, this is the word of God, you need to follow them. So don't give yourself excuse and say that, you know, the law is so far away, it's in heaven, you know, we cannot reach it, so I don't know how to follow it. Or across the ocean, and I don't know how to get there and get it, so don't blame me if I cannot follow the law. If I do not follow the law, I do not do the law, don't blame me. And Moses said, no, it's not true. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. That's why we have Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Very famous scriptures that we try to bring people to Christ. So he was talking about that. But Paul picked it up and he goes further. When Moses said the law, the word of God, the will of God, actually the law actually is just another expression of the word of God, the will of God. Keep that in mind, the word of God. And then Paul goes deeper and further. And he described the word of God in the law actually is the word. John chapter 1, the Savior, the Son of God. So he goes further. Paul was talking about for those who believe in God, Moses in chapter in verse 5 saying that if you do the righteousness, if you do the law, you will be right, you will be righteous and you will be saved. But immediately Paul tells us that this is a way, but it's not the best way. This is not the way, the way. Because in verses 6 to 8, he said, for those who believe will say something like that. And then he quoted these few verses from Moses in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And then he go further. For those who believe will say that, who's going to go to heaven to bring down Christ? And who's going to hell to bring him up? Do you know why he say that? Because Jesus has done it all. For those who believe, continue to believe, you need to know that, and we need to know that Jesus had done it all. He already came, he died on the cross, he rose again on the third day, so you don't need to bring him down from heaven. You don't need to bring him up from hell. Because those are works. For those who believe, we know that this is already done. No more works. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe this Messiah, Christ, work has been done. You don't need to do any more. So he was talking about continue to believe by faith. And I think a lot of time, as a pastor, I ask questions. I meet with people who accepted Christ. They wanted to be baptized. So we always hear a testimony how they became a Christian. Many of you, I hope all of you, I should say all of you, I hope, when you came to Christ, you came by faith. You had no idea of the whole picture, but you believe in Jesus by faith. And my question is, when you come to Christ, just like this picture, he should be your cornerstone. Then you should continue to grow spiritually on this platform, Jesus, our Lord Jesus. Well, if you continue to read verses 9 and 10, you will know that this Messiah is our Lord Jesus. So Paul is not trying to hide something. He is telling us that, how did you get there? You get there, you get here. Oh, I'm sorry. You became a Christian by faith. For some reason, unknown to a lot of people, as we become a Christian, we shift no longer live by faith, but by what? Our own way. So sad. We find our own way to relate to God as we slowly, so-called, live out this Christian life. Just like the Jewish people, when they heard the Ten Commandments, as time went by, they couldn't follow the law because they knew they couldn't do it. So they find their own compromise solutions, which is their own way to connect to God. My warning, not my warning, Paul's warning, the danger is we might end up doing the same thing. So I find this passage very powerful, not just because it's explaining what happened to the Jewish people in the past, but this passage also serves as a warning to us who said that we are Christians. We are the followers of God. But in some way, we put God in a box and say, don't come out. As long as you are in there, I can have control. I know what is happening with you. I will continue to serve you. Quite small. Then you know why, when we have run into crisis in our lives, we are so disappointed. We are so frustrated with God because we put God in a box and say, as long as you are under my control, my understanding, I'm fine with you. But as soon as you walk away from this, when we have no control, when I have no control of you, God, I am scared. What is wrong with us? Sometimes I ask myself. I'm a Christian too, so I ask myself too. How come we shift from faith-based relationship with God and then slowly shift to something else without even knowing it or pay attention to it or doesn't even care about it? And this is what Paul is talking about, his own people. We're going to run into Christ eventually. You have to make a decision. That, I think, that is the message Paul is talking about. Either he's a stumbling block to you or he's a cornerstone to you. Make a choice. Do you still want to put God in a box under your control, in a closet that you feel comfortable? Or you let him go and take control of your lives? Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for this message. Lord, we know that Paul has a big heart and he was so eager to see his people to accept Christ. But at the same time, he understands their struggles, their problems. As we reflect on this passage, even though it was written almost 2,000 years ago, but I'm afraid that this passage also describes what is happening in our lives today. Lord, we, for some reason, after we became a Christian, we found our own way, trying to please you, trying to be accepted by you. And at the end, Paul's description is that we are going to run into our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to stand before us and say, who am I? Am I a stumbling block to you, or am I the cornerstone for you to grow? Lord, we many times, many days, we try to avoid this genuine confrontation with you because we are so afraid that you will ask us to do something that is beyond us, beyond our comfort zone. Lord, but we, as a Christians, we cannot get away from you. You're going to stand before us and ask us these questions every time we try to run away from you. Lord, help us to continue to grow with our faith in you. This is how we started, and we should continue. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.